You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Rob Ferret. Now, just before Christmas, if you can remember back to last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down our state's legislative district maps. And in asking for new maps to be submitted for review, the justices included some criteria based on constitutional requirements for compactness, similar-sized populations, and physical connection. Another factor they want to consider, quote, partisan impact, as the old maps were widely considered unfairly favorable to Republicans. Well, a week ago, the court received seven sets of Assembly and Senate maps, and our next guest has spent a lot of time with all of them, including running them through a computer program to do some comparisons with the results of the 2022 election and getting an idea for how competitive districts could become if any of these would ultimately be adopted. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the process of Wisconsin getting new legislative maps? Are you excited by all of this or frustrated? What kind of impact do you think new maps could have on the legislative races in Wisconsin this year? What about on the national election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. John Johnson is a research fellow in the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University, where he specializes in applying research practices from academia and data science to policy issues facing Milwaukee and Wisconsin. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us now why the current court decided that the maps are unconstitutional. What was the premise?
The court ruled that the existing maps were unconstitutional because they were not physically contiguous. Previously, for at least some period of time, courts had interpreted the contiguity requirement a little more loosely, and this court decided that no literal physical contiguity was required for Assembly and Senate districts. Because many of the districts were not fully contiguous, they ruled that an entirely new map would be needed.
So the court requested map submissions, but who ultimately will be responsible for adopting them? Is that still in the hands of the legislature and the governor? How does it work?
The court is clear that the legislature still has the authority to draw new maps. If they can draw maps that are signed into law by the governor before the deadline to implement new maps ahead of the August partisan primary, then those will be the new maps for the state. The court has said that if the legislature fails to do that, then the court will choose a remedial map to implement.
How likely a scenario do you think that is, that the court will actually wind up being the decision maker?
I have not met a single person who thinks it's likely that the legislature and governor will agree on new maps.
That's interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about the criteria that the justices set for map submissions that they argue are in line with the state constitution. So what is the criteria?
Well, districts need to have equal populations. That's the whole point of redistricting. Obviously, they've got to be contiguous. We just had a whole long court case about that. They need to follow federal civil rights law around creating the right number of minority opportunity districts, which in Wisconsin is limited to the city of Milwaukee. The court has said that they will prefer plans that split fewer municipalities, counties, and wards than plans which split more of them, all else being equal. Compactness is a requirement that's in the state constitution, although it's not defined. And then most significantly, perhaps, the court said that they would consider the partisan impact of any plan that was before them.
So let's talk about that, the partisan impact. The justices left kind of this whole thing open-ended as to how they're going to evaluate that. Do you have a sense of how they will evaluate that? And I mean, I guess, does it leave the door open to the ways that we could go about measuring the new maps to assess them for that?
You're right. They weren't specific in what they meant by this, but I think most people think that what they mean is they want a map that translates whichever party gets a majority of the support in the state to the party that gets a majority of the seats in the legislature.
So let's talk about your research. how did you set out to measure partisan impact in your scoring of the
Mass Disorder Association? There are so many. Yeah, thank you. There's so many ways that you can measure that. What I chose to do is to come up with a statistical model that says how the 2022 election that most of us can remember, how that probably would have happened if it had been held under one of these proposed maps. So you can't just add up the vote for state legislative Republican and Democratic candidates because so many of those seats weren't contested by both parties. So instead, I used a pretty simple statistical model that took the results of the governor's race, the U.S. Senate race, the state treasurer, and the attorney general's races, and used those to predict what the vote in the assembly or state Senate district would have been. As it turns out, in 2022, as has been common in Wisconsin, state legislative Republican candidates did quite a bit better than statewide Republican candidates in general did. So, you know, that model of the 2022 election actually thinks that in the way votes were cast then, Republicans would have been likely to win a majority of the vote for the state legislature and a majority of the seats, at least a one-seat majority across all of these plans. However, Governor Evers himself won a majority of the seats in all of the plans that were submitted by Democratic or liberal-aligned petitioners. So you can see how this creates a much more competitive map. Under the old map, we often said, well, it would take a Tammy Baldwin in 2018-sized swing across the state. Every Democrat running all over the state would need to be as popular as Tammy Baldwin in 2018 was. She had, I think, an 11-point margin of victory for them to have a shot at getting a majority under the old maps. Under most of these proposed new maps, it would take a Tony Evers-sized victory. Close to that would deliver the legislature to Democrats.
In your research, did anything surprise you? Did anything jump out at you as something that you were not expecting to see?
One thing I think is pretty interesting is that across all of those neutral criteria that I talked about, compactness, splits, contiguity, majority-minority districts, those kinds of things, two plans, well, there's no one plan that does best on each metric, but there's two plans that do really pretty good across those, and they're the plans by Will, the conservative law firm in Wisconsin, and by Law Forward, the progressive law firm in Wisconsin. And those two groups achieve very different partisan outcomes, as you'd expect in the maps that they draw, but they actually look pretty similar across those other criteria. So I think that is a demonstration of the way that partisan intent can play a huge role in these maps.
Where else did these map submissions come from? So Will submitted one, the progressive law firm submitted another. Where did the rest of them come from?
The legislative Republicans submitted one. A group of Democratic state senators provided their preferred plan. Governor Evers put forward a plan. A group called the Right Petitioners put forward a plan with the help of some Democratic-aligned law firms. And a professor in Milwaukee named Matthew Petering put forward a plan, but the court ultimately decided not to consider his plan. They ruled that this week because he was not one of the original petitioners who were part of the case.
And are they all very, very different from one another?
You can kind of put them into two groups. The Legislative Republicans plan and the Will plan are the two plans that favor Republicans noticeably, although the Will plan creates far fewer safe Republican seats than the legislative Republicans map does. And then the other plans are all clearly trying to create a map with closer to a 50-50 balance between Democrats and Republicans.
How likely do you think it'll be that we will get close to a 50-50 balance once all is said and done?
When one of those plans is chosen, if one of the plans put forward by these Democratic aligned petitioners is chosen, I think that will create a scenario where both parties will believe that they have a chance to win a majority. So I was talking about the 2022 election and trying to model those results. I think it's an interesting thought experiment to imagine how 2024 will be different. Of course, the electorate will be larger in a presidential year. It's not entirely clear which party that benefits. In the past, usually Democrats, but we've seen some possibility that that has changed in the Trump era. But also, I think under a more competitive state assembly map, it's possible that Democrats will field higher quality candidates and fund their campaigns to a higher level. So that gap that we've seen in the past between state legislative Democratic performance and statewide Democratic candidate performance, maybe that gap will narrow somewhat. I'm not sure, though. It's hard to predict the future.
Yeah. We're talking about submissions for new legislative maps in Wisconsin with John Johnson. He is a research fellow in the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University. We'd love to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time.